on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca vaccines have been approved for use in over 50s. Meanwhile, some people who've had COVID will be considered fully vaccinated after one dose under new government plans. We'll hear from Dr. Anthony Breslin about the fact that Donegal has been identified as one of three COVID hotspots in the country. School staff repeat calls for them to be prioritised for vaccination because of the growing number of COVID outbreaks in schools in Donegal. The Irish Hotel Federation seeks a roadmap for reopening. And in other news, the Western Development Commission launches a new online jobs portal aimed at attracting people to relocate to the Northwest. And later in the bulletin, we'll have the sports news with Kenny. That's coming up at around 5:15. But we begin with confirmation that the Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca vaccines have been approved for use in people over 50. Cabinet ministers signed off on the move this morning following advice from NIAC. The single-shot Johnson & Johnson jab can also be used for under 50s when other vaccines aren't available. Taoiseach Micheál Martin says it'll be a major boost for the vaccination programme in the coming months.
It essentially means we have 600,000 vaccines for Q2 now that we didn't have this morning, or starting out at midnight for Johnson & Johnson, which is a single jab vaccine. The recommendations of NIAC are that both vaccines, the Janssen vaccine and the AstraZeneca vaccine, are good, safe vaccines, and the benefits clearly outweigh the risks.
Well, some people who've had COVID will be considered fully vaccinated after one dose under new government plans. This will apply to under 50s who've had the virus within the past 6 months and who are in good health. Women who are 14 to 36 weeks pregnant will also be offered faster access to vaccines. Minister Stephen Donnelly says this will make an immediate difference.
What it means in the short term is it's full steam ahead. What it means is that we can keep going as fast as possible with the vaccination programme. This week, the plan would be to vaccinate, to administer about 160 to 180,000 doses, and that would bring us north of 700,000 for the month.
Donegal has been identified as one of three COVID hotspots in the country. It comes amid anecdotal accounts of large queues outside the test centre in Letterkenny this afternoon. Donegal continues to hold the highest 14-day incidence rate of the virus in the country at 288.3 cases per 100,000 people. That's 2.5 times the national average. Tests carried out at the walk-in test centre in Letterkenny, which opened on Saturday, returned one of the highest positivity rates in the state at 9.4%. Dr. Anthony Breslin is Director of Public Health with HSC Northwest. He anticipates a continuation in high COVID case numbers in Donegal in the coming days. He says in many cases people aren't giving full information in terms of their movements. And he says while there have been some cases in schools, he doesn't believe that schools are posing a major problem.
We're getting a tiny bit of spread within the school, but not a lot. What's happening is lots of getting together, lots of parties. It goes into a business. Sometimes the people will tell us they're at work, sometimes they won't. So we're getting a very different levels of cooperation around the place. With the walk-in testing we had in Letterkenny, some people came into that to get tested who should have been linked with a workplace but just weren't identified and want to be identified.
However, following the growing number of COVID outbreaks in schools in Donegal, school staff are repeating calls for them to be prioritised in the vaccination process. Last month, the government announced an overhaul of the rollout of the vaccination programme that resulted in prior commitments that teachers and SNAs would be prioritised being put to one side, with inoculations now taking place on the basis of age rather than profession. Well, Donegal Deputy Patrick McLaughlin has described the government's approach to the vaccine rollout as chaotic. He says some schools in Donegal are now struggling to stay open.
We would have heard the concerns of teachers, and indeed special needs assistants and other school staff. They clearly understood that with the reopening of the schools that they would be prioritised for vaccination. And what we've seen in recent days and weeks in Donegal is there is an upsurge in COVID cases in our schools. I know personally that there are a number of schools that have struggled to stay open with the numbers that are there. So again, what we have is a call from the school staff to be prioritised with vaccination, and we would be calling in Sinn Féin on the government to adhere to those requests and to support those staff who have done what they have done in the public interest.
While it was important for the schools to return for children's education, this is ultimately being impacted once again because of the outbreaks within schools.
I think we have to appreciate that the teachers and principals and SNAs that I speak to in Donegal agree that we need to keep our schools open for our children, for our young people and for their families. But in fairness, it's only fair that they would in turn asked that they would be prioritised and protected from this COVID disease. And if we look in Donegal, unfortunately, we have seen increased numbers. As I say, some schools struggling to stay open. That means some teachers have tested positive for COVID. That means other teachers have had to isolate. It's put a huge pressure on some schools. So I think it's only fair that when they're acting in the public interest, going back to work to help society, that they would be prioritised for protection.
Deputy Patrick McLaughlin there speaking to Michaela Clark. Well, the Irish Hotels Federation is urging the government once again to set out a roadmap for the reopening of the sector with dates laid out as to when they can reopen. Paul Diver, the IHF's chair in Donegal, says there's a lot of work involved in reopening a hotel and there must be plenty of notice given to allow that happen properly. The Federation is particularly anxious to see intercounty travel permitted and capacity linked to function room size and space available for events. They also want the EU Digital Green Certificate to be adopted and for plans to be put in place for other vaccinated international travellers. Most importantly, Paul Diver says, clarity is vital.
We here in Donegal, the hotels here in Donegal, would call on the government to give us a clear plan for reopening, you know, what it's going to look like, when are we going to be able to reopen, is intercounty travel going to be allowed? You know, we have customers ringing us up all day, every day, asking those questions. Can we book for June? Can we book for July? And we just don't know. It's not just a matter of clicking on a switch and reopening a hotel. It's a hugely expensive piece of work. Here in Donegal last year, you know, with the Wild Atlantic Way, we did very, very well. We can do the same again this year, but we need time to plan it, you know. And then you've got other things like our staff. You know, you've got staff asking, will we have a job? When will we have a job? And then, you know, the other problem, a lot of staff have left our industry, so we're going to have to try and replace them. As I say, it's very frustrating just not knowing and having customers constantly ringing you asking for clarity and you're not able to give it to them.
The other challenge, of course, is you need to stock your hotel, particularly in terms of food and beverage. And hotels pride themselves on serving fresh local produce, but you don't know when you need to start ordering that fresh local produce in order to actually sell it to customers.
That's it. You know, the other partnership is with your supplier and... Again, you know, if things open up and if we have as good a season as last year, you know, you can go from being extremely quiet or closed to being very, very busy. And, you know, we have very little time to ramp that up. So it's also very difficult on our suppliers. You know, a lot of them are working very closely with us. But again, you know, they're under serious pressure as well. You know, so for everybody's point of view, you know, for the tourism industry in Donegal, you know, as I say, we need clarity and we need clarity soon that'll tell us when our industry is going to reopen and how much of it is going to reopen.
That was Paul Diver of the Irish Hotels Federation. Other news, and the European Parliament will vote tonight to ratify the EU-UK trade deal. MEPs have been debating the contents of the agreement, which is only provisionally in place since January. It expires at the end of April. It's expected MEPs will vote to pass the deal. Fine Gael MEP Frances Fitzgerald says she will back it, but referencing last week's incident in Dungiven, County Derry, she urged the EU not to ignore tensions in Northern Ireland.
This House and our institutions cannot accept a situation where a bomb can be placed under the car of a PSNI officer near where her three-year-old daughter sits. We should never underestimate the fragility of peace in Northern Ireland.
Well, in the Stormont Assembly this afternoon, the Justice Minister Naomi Long also condemned the Derry attack and she pledged her support to the PSNI.
I want to take the opportunity to condemn the recent attack on a young mother who was serving her community. Thankfully, no one was injured, but it could have been a very different outcome had that officer not been so vigilant. Police officers continue to be at significant risk and I want to commend their courage and their bravery as they try to protect the community against the backdrop of a terrorist threat. I also recognise that there is a huge amount of pressure on the police at this time in terms of the recent disturbances that we have seen and also in terms of policing other public order issues. Given that the police have come under such incredible pressure, I spoke with the Secretary of State and I said that I intend to keep open the dialogue both with him and with the Chief Constable regarding the PSNI's requirements in respect of additional security funding in order to ensure that the police are properly resourced both for their day-to-day work in communities and also dealing with an incredibly difficult security situation.
The Western Development Commission has launched a new online jobs portal aimed at attracting people to relocate to the Northwest. Westernjobs.ie will help job seekers find roles across the region and assist employers in gauging the availability and depth of skills they require. With more and more people working remotely because of the COVID-19 pandemic, the WDC is encouraging people to make a permanent and viable move to the West and Northwest for a better work-life balance. The CEO of the Western Development Commission is Tomaso Siachon.
The West is a very attractive area, not only to work, but as I say, to build a career. And one of the things that we've found is that not only have people indicated that they've already moved. So if you look at some of the detail that we've found in the survey work that we've done, we've identified that over 7% have indicated that they have already moved. There's a further 23% that have said that they are open to moving. And then an additional 16% are saying that they're actively considering it. And all of that indicates that people are very open now. So it's important that we strike while the iron is hot and capitalise on the opportunity while people are open to the opportunity to move, but to make sure that when they move, that they can move to a job that allows them not only to find that work-life balance, but to build a career. And we're very confident that westernjobs.ie will allow them to do that.
82 people were rescued by the RNLI in Donegal in 2020. Latest figures show life-saving crews in the county launched their all-weather and inshore lifeboats 56 times in 2020, with 21 of those launches carried out in the hours of darkness. With more detail, here's Michaela Clark.
Bundoran RNLI launched 18 times last year, coming to the aid of 19 people, while Arnmore RNLI launched 17 times, bringing 29 people to safety. Lochswilly RNLI, meanwhile, launched 21 times, coming to the aid of 34 people. All three lifeboat stations have remained operational throughout the pandemic, with volunteers working amid COVID-19 restrictions and with additional safety protocols in place. During this time, RNLI crews have responded to a range of activities and people in difficulty, including kayakers, canoeists and jet skiers, motorboats, fishing and sailing vessels and swimmers, walkers and runners. It comes as the RNLI launch its May Day Mile campaign beginning on May the 1st. The rescue service says with high numbers of visitors expected as more people choose to holiday closer to home, more funds are needed to ensure the life-saving service is able to keep everyone safe.
Gardaí are urging people to be vigilant and to report any missing life-saving equipment. It's after Gardaí and Buncrana were informed recently of three missing ring buoys at Inch Pier. They have since been replaced. Investigations are continuing into a dangerous driving incident in Inishowen on Sunday last after failing to stop for Gardaí. A black Vauxhall Omega car travelling dangerously subsequently crashed in Muff, colliding with a number of other vehicles and a building at around 20 to 3. Gardaí are urging any road users who may have been on the Carndonagh to Quigley's Point Road or the Quigley's Point to Muff Road between 2 and 20 to 3 and who may have dashcam footage to come forward. The North's Health Minister says the development of an addiction treatment centre in the Northwest region will be dependent on funding being made available. There's a commitment in the new decade, new approach document to such a centre, but when questioned in the Assembly by Foyle MLAs Karen Mullen and Mark H. Durkin, Minister Robin Swan said the commitments in the document hadn't been accompanied by funding, and so priorities will be decided by an assessment board comprising the First and Deputy First Ministers and the Northern Secretary. Minister Swan suggested that Karen Mullen lobby her Sinn Féin colleague, Michelle O'Neill.
Thank the Minister for agreeing to meet Tamsin White, who recently lost her mum. You will hear from her around the lack of detox services, particularly for females in the Northwest region and the real impact it's having. He responded to me, particularly even this morning, around the New Decade, New Approach commitment, and that funding will be decided at a joint board of the Secretary of State, the Deputy First Minister and the First Minister. Health Minister, I'm asking you, are you taking forward to that joint board that this commitment that this is a commitment needs to be funded and should be a priority?
There are many proposals in New Decade, New Approach that are health specific. I don't have the reassurance of that funding either in the coming budget or this year's budget because there is no funding allocation directly aligned to those at present. It is priorities and promises that have been made by the Finance Minister in regards to funding those, but it will be up to the project board, which includes the First Minister, the Deputy First Minister and the Secretary of State, in prioritising those in regards to funds that are made available. So I would encourage her to lobby her party member, who is part of that assessment board, and I will be asking and pushing for as much of that money to come in our direction as is possible, because many of those commitments in New Decade, New Approach are necessary for not just the advancement of the health service in Northern Ireland, but much of the transformation as well, which is sorely needed.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by michaelmurphysports.ie. Shop 24/7 with nationwide next day delivery.
16 and a half minutes past five. We say good evening to Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Donal. Good evening. Starting with Gaelic Games, and the Donegal CCC will meet tonight to construct a plan for the club's season this year. The first football option will have a start after the Ulster campaign should Donegal bow out of the championship during the provincial stage, with the other option after the All-Ireland final in September. And the senior and intermediate championships are expected to have the same format as last year, with hopes that the 2020 senior final can be played before this year's one gets underway. Should the Donegal Hurlers reach the Nicky Record final again this year, then the club championship could start in the second weekend of August. The government are meeting this week to discuss the next phase of easing of restrictions, and clarity on the road to the club roadmap is expected early next week. Moving on to badminton, and Donegal's Rachel Dara is through to the last 32 of the European Championships in the Ukraine. The Rafal player defeated Serbia's Matija Sudimek after three sets today. Rachel lost the first 21-13 but won the next two 21-17, 21-8 to go through. In the men's doubles, Joshua McGee suffered a defeat with his partner Paul Reynolds. They lost 21-11, 21-13 to Christopher and Matthew Grimley from Scotland. And Chloe and Sam McGee, they start their competition tomorrow in the mixed doubles, while Rachel Dara teams up with Paul Reynolds for mixed doubles action also. Moving on to soccer, and UEFA's National Teams Committee has recommended that squad sizes at this summer's Euros are increased from 23 to 26 players. The move's been made due to the pressure on players with the busy fixtures schedules caused by the coronavirus pandemic. On the pitch tonight, Chelsea boss Thomas Tuchel has dismissed conspiracy theories regarding tonight's refereeing in the Champions League. Ahead of their semi-final first leg, Real Madrid boss Zinedine Zidane claimed their involvement in the Super League may influence officials' decisions, but Tuchel insists that's nonsense.
I trust 100% in the refereeing and in UEFA and in the competition, and I trust the 100% that every referee UEFA sends, and UEFA on this level, we need the best refereeing because it's very, very difficult, and I trust 100% that the referee will try to whistle the best match possible.
Kickoff in Madrid tonight is at 8 o'clock. In the Championship tonight, Rotherham can move within a point of safety with a win at third place Brentford. The South Yorkshire side go into the game 4 points adrift of Derby, but they do have two games in hand. And the first round of what's a condensed Irish Cup competition starts this evening. Among the games being played, Coleraine they play Crusaders, Glenavon they host Dungannon in the All Premier Division ties, and league leaders Linfield they host Intermediate League champions Anna United, a team whose last match was over a year ago due to the COVID restrictions. All tonight's ties kick off at 7:45. Moving on to rugby, and Jonathan Sexton has been ruled out of Leinster's Heineken Champions Cup semi-final with La Rochelle. The out half is still observing the return to play protocols, having sustained a head injury in their quarter-final win over Exeter nearly 3 weeks ago. And Caelan Doris remains a doubt due to the calf injury that saw him withdraw from the side to play Munster. Jameson Gibson-Park and Harry Byrne, they'll also be assessed ahead of Sunday's game in France. And the English Premiership has confirmed an agreement that has been reached for the release of players to the Lions squad. Players who are based in England and are selected by coach Warren Gatland will be available for the Lions warm-up game against Japan and any training camp ahead of that. And with the tour impacting on the Premiership season, the two sides had previously been able to find a solution. Moving on to snooker, and Mark Selby leads Mark Williams by 6-1 in their World Championship quarter final at the Crucible. On the other table, Judd Trump leads Sean Murphy by 4-3. Later on this evening, Neil Robertson, he'll resume 5-3 up on Kieran Wilson, while Anthony McGill and Stuart Bingham, they're tied at 4 frames apiece. In horse racing, neither Paul Townend or Rachel Blackmore could add to their list of winners in the first Grade 1 of the Punchestown Festival. Instead, Patrick Mullins, he rode odds-on favoured Echoes in the Rain to victory in the Champion Novice Hurdle. Blackmore is aboard Alaho, and Townend on Kakun Porosui in today's feature race. That's the William Hill Champion Chase, which is just about to get underway at 5:25. The first race of the evening went to 25-1 shot cousin Harry. Finally for this evening in tennis, Wimbledon's traditional middle Sunday rest day will be scrapped from next year, moving the tennis championships to a 14-day event. Chairman Ian Hewitt has also confirmed they're continuing to plan for a minimum capacity of 25% at this summer's competition. Hewitt revealed taking out pandemic insurance had paid off to the tune of £180 million, covering Wimbledon's losses from last year's cancelled event. That's all your sport for this evening. It's back to Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Kenny. Donegal County Council is considering how best to update and enhance the information boards at the Bernard McGlinchey Town Park in Letterkenny. Councillor Jerry McMonagall and the Municipal District Cahirlach Donald Coyle raised the issue at a recent council meeting. Councillor McMonagall said the maps are so outdated, they show the Oatfield Sweet Factory to be operational, the council offices to be located at the house which previously stood at the site of the Regional Cultural Centre, and the Leisure Centre at the site of what is now the courthouse. Councillor McMonagall says the authority has been very proactive in updating other areas of the park, and this is something that's overdue.
The signage there was put up in 1999 when the park was first opened. It was brought to my attention by Kieran Kelly, the local historian, the school teacher. He asked that maybe we would consider looking at the rich history that was in and around where the Bernard McGlinchey Town Park is. So I brought forward a motion and asked the council to look at and update the current sign, but also to look at putting in place other interesting facts about the actual area that the park covers.
You suggested perhaps the County Museum, which is just down the road from the park, obviously might be a place to go for some guidance on this one.
I'm sure the museum has a lot of the historical facts for the area, as said Kieran Kelly. The council at the meeting agreed to have a look at the request and to come up with some proposals in the near future. There is a rich history in the area. You know, St Eunice played the first football there. There was cricket played there. As you said, the Sweet Factory was nearby. The whole history of St Connell's and its surrounding grounds. So there's a lot of very interesting facts that could be recorded. As we see in Ballymacool Park, we have a number of notice boards which talk about the local history in and around Ballymacool, Ballymacool House, etc. And the same could be done now, as I say, there's a rich history at Bernard McGlinchey Town Park. We've consistently upgraded the park. We've put in various play parks, the exercise area. We're now getting ready to put in a large area at the back of the park for teenagers and all. It's always good to keep upgrading what we have to offer the general public.
And that was Councillor Jerry McMonagall. Gardaí are investigating thefts from a number of cars between 4:45 and 8:45 on Saturday last. A handbag was stolen from a unlocked car in Carndonagh. In Letterkenny, also on Saturday between 10 and 10:30 a.m., four wind visors were taken from a car parked in the owner's driveway in the Glanrua area of Killylaston. Anyone with information is being asked to contact Gardaí. Gardaí Claire Rafferty is urging people to ensure their vehicles are locked at all times.
I'd like to ask people to remember when you are parking your car to always lock it up. And this even applies on your own property or when you're out and about. So always secure the car and check that it's locked before leaving. So never leave anything of value in your car, and do not leave anything such as laptops, handbags, purses, cash, etc. within view in the car, because that's given people an invitation. With the COVID-19 regulations being relaxed a little, there is a lot more movement within the county, so people are travelling from different areas. But even people travelling to the beauty spots and the beaches over the coming weeks, we just want to appeal to people to be security conscious when it comes to their car. Criminals will try car doors to see if you have left it unlocked, and they strike it lucky and find one that's unlocked, and they'll be away with whatever's in it.
Well, the forecast, a mix of bright spells and a few well-scattered showers this evening. The showers will at times be heavy, becoming more isolated as the evening goes on. Winds moderate to fresh north to northeast in direction. Any remaining showers will die out tonight. It'll become largely dry with a mix of clear spells and a variable cloud. Lowest overnight temperatures 1 to 4 degrees Celsius. A touch of frost possible in sheltered areas. Moderate to fresh northeast winds dropping back light to moderate for a time. Mainly dry tomorrow with a mix of sunny spells and a variable cloud. Some well scattered light showers may affect eastern parts of the region, with highest afternoon temperatures tomorrow 10 or 11 degrees Celsius. Again, moderate northeasterly breezes. And Looking at the headlines, the Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca vaccines have been approved for use in people over 50. Cabinet ministers signed off on the move this morning following advice from NIAC. Some people who've had COVID will be considered fully vaccinated after just one dose under the new plans. Those will apply to under 50s who've had the virus within the past 6 months and are in good health otherwise. Donegal has been identified as one of three COVID hotspots in the country. It comes as there is anecdotal accounts this afternoon of major queues outside the test centre in Letterkenny. Dr. Anthony Breslin says in some cases, people aren't giving full information when they're being tested, and that's proving a problem. The Irish Hotels Federation is urging the government to set out a roadmap for the reopening of hospitality, and the Western Development Commission has launched a new portal urging people to relocate to the west and northwest. We're back with news again at 6. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Tuesday evening, the 27th of April. The death has taken place of Pat Diver, Carrow Moor, Glenealy. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there on Thursday at 10:30 to St Mary's Church, Cooldaff, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSC and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are private to family only, please, with a maximum of 25 people permitted. Requiem Mass can be viewed live on churchmedia.tv/camera/Cooldaff Parish. The death has taken place of Annie Brennan, née Kirk, 3 Riverside Terrace, Strabane, and formerly of Ballymagorry. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to chest, heart and stroke, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. No mass cards, please. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral will be strictly private to family only, please. Annie's Requiem Mass can be viewed live on Thursday morning at 10 o'clock via the Sacred Heart Church Derry Road webcam at churchservices.tv/lechpatrick. The death has taken place in Birmingham, England, of Patrick Paddy McColl, Paddy John Owen, Stranarva, Crawley and Birmingham, England. His remains will repose at his niece Madge McColl Doherty's residence in Stranarva, Crawley, from Friday evening. Funeral will leave Letterkenny at approximately 4 o'clock, travelling the back of Errigal Road. Funeral Mass on Sunday morning at 11 in St Patrick's Church, Meanwhile, followed by burial in Dunlow Old Cemetery. Due to HSC and government guidelines, funeral and burial will be private to family only, please, with a maximum of 25 people permitted. Rosary can be viewed on the Parroche d'Ecuador Facebook page on Saturday evening at 7:30. Funeral Mass on Sunday morning at 11 will be broadcast on the Colm Gillespie Funeral Director Facebook page. The death has taken place of Frederick Tully, Pound Street, Carndonagh. His remains are reposing at the Church of the Sacred Heart, Carndonagh, with Requiem Mass there tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Mass can be viewed on churchmedia.tv/parishofcarndonagh. Due to HSC and government guidelines, wake and funeral are private to family only, please, with a maximum of 25 people permitted. And the death has occurred in her 100th year of Polly Devaney, Money Gregan, Newton Cunningham. Funeral Mass on Thursday morning in All Saints Church, Newton Cunningham at 11 o'clock, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. It can be viewed at churchservices.tv/Newton Cunningham. Due to current HSC and government guidelines, the wake and funeral mass will be private to family only, please, with a maximum of 25 people permitted. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to the Day Centre, Trinity Court, Newton Cunningham, care of any family member or Charlie McLaverty, Funeral Director.